My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Angelina Rivera, about 8 months in a haunted school. So you have your first night there, and it, obviously, you know, there's the nerves that are going on of, you know, this is this new place, and there's the lore of it being haunted, and you've already had some of an experience there yourself. So first night, other than, you know, being kind of creeped out to not walk down the hall, was it relatively peaceful?
No, I didn't sleep. I felt like somebody was standing behind me all the time. So I moved from the bed to the couch, which was closer to the door and the exit.
Okay.
And I slept on that couch for a month and a half until we got my apartment ready. So even though I worked in the school throughout the day and I was walking around and I was doing things, and my job there, part of staying there, my job was every 4 hours I had to go fill the boiler with wood to heat the school.
Okay.
So you can imagine my first night there at 12 o'clock at night, I'm like, okay, I got to go outside, put wood in here. Then I got to come again and do it at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I'm sure there's plenty of footage of me creeping really slow to go out one door, to go outside, and then come back in through that door to come back into where I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard. That was scary. Anything was kind of scary because so much was always happening there. That school is active 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Paint the picture for us of the school. I mean, what was the state of this building when you went into it?
Immaculate.
So, I mean, this is a school that's not active anymore. I mean, in terms of being a school, right?
Right. They stopped their last classes in the 2009-2010 year.
Okay. So it's not, hasn't been abandoned forever, but, it, you know, 10 years, paint can peel, and it's amazing how much nature can take over in a building in 10 years. But it's been kept up very well, you're saying, over those 10 years.
Absolutely. When Daryl Wisman and his wife Brenda bought the property, I think in 2014, I could be wrong, maybe it was 2012, they have beautiful pictures of all the work they did, scraping the old paint off the wall, putting new paint up. There was no desk in that building when they got there. So they called local schools. They got old desks, you know, donated, and were able to fill all the classrooms with desks.
So it really feels like an active school almost without the kids.
Absolutely. You wouldn't know that school doesn't have class during the day.
Now, when they purchased the building, what was the purpose? For investigation purposes?
No, the purpose was because Daryl went to school there, elementary school there, and it was a place he loved. And his wife loved it, and he talked to her, and she wanted to buy it. He goes, what my wife wants, I get, and he bought it. He has an attachment to it.
So was it just to kind of hold on to because they had the ability to do so and it was a place that had an attachment? Or was there any business purpose or anything for it?
No, he had no clue that school was haunted until I don't remember when, but at one point they had thrown a New Year's Eve party, mm-hmm. and he saw something in the men's bathroom. And that's when he realized that school was haunted or could be haunted. And he called in people to come and let him know if that school was haunted or not.
Wow.
And found out that it is haunted.
So take
that's
me,
one of the best places I've ever gotten EVPs. It's amazing.
Take me more to your early nights there. We talked a little bit about the first night, and tell me, you know, what was life like as you kind of started to settle in? What were some of the experiences that you began to have, you know, individual experiences that really stand out to you?
Well, one experience I had is I have asthma. And I have bad asthma. I've been intubated a few times in my life, near death and stuff like that. One time I was up, there's a blue staircase at Post Town, and I call it the blue staircase because there's a story that a little girl named Sarah was pushed over the staircase by another student and died. That hasn't been proven at all. There's no death reports or anything, but that's one of the stories that were told around the school. When a school was when it was active with students. So I decided to stand on the third floor and lean over the railing and take three pictures looking down to see if I could capture the little girl. And as I did that, I got a strong gust of wind that went in through my body, almost to my toes. And my friend Angel had to grab me because I almost went over the railing and he pushed me back. And from that experience, I didn't have an asthma attack until December of 2019. So I think that a spirit came through me and possibly helped my asthma in some way, because they said the little girl who fell, or there was another little girl there too at the same instance that went to school there that had a trachea in her neck. Mm-hmm. She died, but she didn't die there at the school. So, and I guess that's a fact that can be proven. So I'm thinking, was it the little girl Sarah who fell over the railing, or was it the little girl who came to school here in the classroom directly behind where the top of the staircase is, had her trachea in? Is she here? Was this her happy place?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, do you think that the spirits that are in that school are all ones who would have had some sort of connection to dying in or near the property? Or could some of them be, you know, people who have, just like the owners, a happy memory of the place, and this is just kind of where they return? Their death has nothing to do with the building. It just, it's like, well, where you want to go back to? And some decide elementary school was good. Let's go back there.
Yeah, I absolutely don't think, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, I don't think any of the haunting there has to do with the train wreck. I absolutely think that the school is haunted because of what's happened with the car accident and the kids dying across the street in the lake. And I also believe that the spirits that are there, that's where they wanted to go because that was their happiest moment. And there's attachment there to that school.
Sure.
You know, I see a lot of paranormal teams that go there. And they'll go to, say, Miss Johnson's classroom, which is known as the most haunted classroom there. And they'll say, Miss Johnson, come through, talk to us. We're here. What can we do for you? And I'm like, Miss Johnson is alive and lives 2 miles down the road.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I still see that. And I haven't been back there in 3 years. And I still get mad. Like, why are you disrespecting their spirits and not studying your history and your research? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still affected by that. But I really do think that it has to do with, you do get to pick where you can go when you die. Mm-hmm. And it could possibly be the deaths that happened outside of the school on, you know, around the property.
When you were having those dreams and those visions of violence and death, as you were describing them earlier, was that happening when you were living in the school?
The deaths about murder were happening when I was living in the school. Only dreams about murder,
okay,
is all I had living at Post Town, was about people being murdered.
Now, that's what I want to get to then, is were there anything ever documented, anything you found regarding things like that with or around the school or in the town or anything like that?
No, and I researched as much as possible, and I even reached out to historians,
Yeah.
And there was no known murders between the time the school was built and the time I was there. No. And that baffles me. Like, why am I having dreams about murder?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
You weren't falling asleep to Dateline every night or anything like that.
You know, it's funny you say that because we do fall asleep to like Dateline every night. But yeah. When I lived in that school, I made sure I didn't watch none of that. I was too afraid.
I can understand, because I can see if you're watching a lot of Dateline at night and all of a sudden Keith Morrison is talking about some murder down at the schoolhouse. Or
yeah,
was
nope.
it? You know, that
nope.
could lead to nightmarish dreams. But that's the thing. I mean, it's something, if there's not a lot of traceable things, and that's a really dark thing to be, you know, dreaming about, especially, you know, it's not like you worked in law enforcement or anything like that, where, you know, that might traumatize you and haunt your dreams. And it's like, no, that's not, as far as I know, there's no Johnny Morris murder team with Bass Pro. you know, I don't know. I mean, stranger things have happened, but,
right.
But to have those things constantly pop up without those, that being a popular subject with you, that is rather odd. Let me ask you about the entities that were in the school. You said you felt there was kind of an angry man, I believe, that was there. Tell me more about that and who else you believe was consistently haunting that building.
I believe that there was a man there. I lived right below Mrs. When we finally got my apartment ready, I lived directly below the most haunted room, which was Miss Johnson's room. And I would hear somebody coughing at night. And I would text the caretaker and say, are you okay over there? Because he has a little bit of, I want to say COPD or something like that. And sometimes I could hear him coughing because his living room wall was on my bedroom wall. And he'd say, no, I'm okay. Are you all right? I'm like, are you in the living room coughing? He's like, no, we're in our bedroom, which was way far away from mine. And I say, okay, I just hear somebody coughing really bad. And he kept saying, well, welcome to Post Town. So I kept hearing it. And one day I finally went up there and I said, is there anybody here that needs help? Can I get you medical attention? Do you need a glass of water? What's going on? And all of a sudden I hear two loud taps on the door. And I freaked out and I was out. I bolted. But every night after that I heard that, I went up there and did the same thing. Is there anything I can do? Is there anyone I can help up here? And I started feeling choked, like somebody was choking me. And I wrote on the chalkboard, because at Post Town they have chalkboards everywhere, and you can leave your team names and little notes up there and stuff. And I remember writing, how can I help you? Please write back. Now, this board was clear. I went back up the next day. There was no investigation the night prior. There was no one through that building that same day. All of a sudden, underneath my note to the left-hand side, somebody wrote Mr. Marley underneath it. And I'm thinking, is the guy's name Mr. Marley? Did he? Because I always ask, who's with me? What's your name? And I had to go back downstairs and listen to my EVP recorder and say, did I ask, you know, what's your name? And on my EVP, I hear myself saying, if you want to write down your name for me so I know how to address you, you can do that too. And then the next morning I come up there and it says Mr. Marley in the left-hand corner of the desk behind the teacher's desk on the left-hand corner of the chalkboard. That freaked me out. And especially knowing I know nobody was in that building.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird. The one thing I forgot to check for was the piece of chalk that I showed them. Did they move it? Was it moved from where I put it down? That's the one thing I forgot to do. So I'm still skeptic of it a little bit.
The question one would then ask is, was there a Mr. Marley that taught there?
No, there was not. Not at all. And even I'm still trying, even though I haven't been back to Post Town, I'm still focused on finding out about the family who were buried under the school.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's the Marley family. I don't know. There's still a lot of questions that I have to things that happened there. And it's creepy. One time I was upstairs in a classroom, and there was a puddle around a desk. Just, I don't know, the desk have those, you know, metal posts that, you know, hold the desk up. I don't know what they're called. In the front of the desk, there was a metal post, and it, down on the floor, there was water all around it. And I'm thinking, what happened here? And I'm looking up, and there's nothing leaking from the ceiling. There's no water anywhere else in the classroom. And I'm like, okay, there's nothing on the desk. And I'm like, all right, let me wipe it up. I go up the next day, it's there again. I go to the caretaker, and I said, why would a puddle of water be forming on the bottom of this desk? And he goes, what are you talking about? And I explained it to him. And he goes, is there any water on the desk? I said, no. He goes, so there's nothing dripping from the ceiling. And I said, nope. And he says, maybe there's a little boy or somebody just peeing by the desk every morning. But it happened every single morning that I would clean up that puddle and it would be there the next morning. The same exact area. So that's baffling to me, too. Like, is somebody pranking me or is this really paranormal? Mm-hmm. Still skeptical about that. Could have been a caretaker playing a prank on me, and he took it too far, and he had to keep doing it because I was really believing it too much, and he didn't want to hurt my feelings. I don't know. I could go on for days about what happens. I don't feel there's a bad entity at Post Town. Mm-hmm. I do know a lot of men go there saying that they feel a strong male entity, and I do see that when men investigate there, they have a bad time, and a lot of them get angry sometimes, and you see them start provoking and they don't realize it. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that there's an entity that possibly doesn't like men. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that there is a man entity that touches women, because in certain places in the school, women get touched, and Miss Johnson's classroom is one of them. And it's not a friendly touch. It's an unwanted touch. So I've never come across that entity, and I never hope to. So to be there for 8 months and not come across it, I think I did pretty good.
Yeah. If you were to ever go back, I mean, is this having had 8 months in this location, would you ever spend another 8 months there given the opportunity?
No, absolutely not. It was an amazing and great opportunity. And my parents have always taught me to take an opportunity when it comes, because you'll never know if you get one again. Whether you like it or not, try it. So that's what I did. I have to worry more about my mental, and that's why I wouldn't do it again. Mm-hmm. It took a big chunk of my life away, and I would never live in any haunted facility again. No.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Angelina. A big thank you to her for sharing her experiences with us, and a big thank you to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.